June 11th, 2019. I hereby call to order the meeting of the Troy County Board of Supervisors and invite you, as you wish, to join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first thing on our agenda is public comment number one, and that's comment period for the public to address topics on today's agenda. If there's anyone who would like to address any of the topics on today's agenda other than people who are going to be presenting during the agenda item, please feel free to come to the microphone up here. Seeing nobody move to the microphone, I'll close the public comment session, and we'll then go to the bid opening for Hickory Grove Beach House replacement. And that is Conservation Director Mike Cox.
Good morning. Just saw you guys yesterday.
Please proceed when you're ready.
Very good. Well, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Hey.
You should have the bid tabulation sheets in front of you. And we do have one bid from Vico Development and Construction Company Incorporated out of St. Joseph, Missouri.
How do you spell that? V-I?
V-I-E-C-O.
Thank you.
There has been one addendum issued. That addendum is acknowledged. Bid bond is included. And they are an eligible bidder.
Their bid total is $291,459.00. 291,459.00.
Returning to us for action on this?
Correct. We'll return. We'll review the bid and come back with a recommendation for award.
Okay. Would you please remind us what was the engineer's estimate, please?
Yes. The engineer's estimate for the product total was $253,995.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. We will go on then to agency reports. Bruce, annual report, Marion Cressy.
Morning again.
Hello.
Is that the same one that we got that was scanned in?
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead. Piece of paper. Thanks, Marie.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Marion Cressy. I'm the area director for Boost Together for Children. And one item of business that you have later on your consent agenda is to renew the fiscal agent agreement between Boost Together for Children and Story County. Both of you have, at different times, or currently serve on the board of directors for Boost Together Children. But for those in the room that are not familiar, Boost is a received state funding to provide children birth to age five with various programs that either promote home visiting programs, preschool scholarships, anything birth to five to improve quality outcomes for children. And the support that we receive from Story County is, first, that they are our fiscal agent as a requirement of receiving state funds. Local boards are required to have a fiscal agent. And as long as I've been aware, Story County has always been the fiscal agent for this program. And we just appreciate it very much. And we always get great service at a very, very reduced cost from you guys. Plus, Story County also provides office space here in Ames for our program. I had provided before the meeting, had sent a snapshot. It's always a year behind because we don't do our annual data until we close our books in at the end of June, so it doesn't come back out again until August. But I have sent that out to the Board of Supervisors, just detailing the children that were served in various programs. And the way we do work is Boost itself is a one-person staff, namely me, and then we turn around and contract with agencies like Youth and Shelter Services and LSI, Mid-Iowa Community Action, for the various programs that our board decides are appropriate to serve children. I guess on the just purely business side, renewing our agreement, one thing I would like to reestablish this year that we've done in the past is I'd like to request that we go back to the phone system. I also have a serve Boone County, and I have a phone over there. So I didn't think I needed a phone in this office, in the Ames office, but what had happened, I didn't realize that was also my internet connection. And so now when I use the Ames office, I have to use an unsecure public, the public Wi-Fi. And so I think sending information across, so that's something I'd like to I guess find out who do I talk to get that reestablished.
We have both our IT director and our facilities director here, and Barb, our IT director, just raised your hand.
Well, we've talked a little bit, but we hadn't actually agreed to go back on the phone system, so I'd just like to know, you know, what's the formal step to
Could you two talk about this after Mary's done with this presentation and see what would need to be done?
I do have one question about this. Why did you come off of it in the first place?
Just that I thought it was duplicative, that we considered the Boone office.
Okay.
Consider Boone and Story County as the main number, so it seemed like it would just, I thought it would be a cost savings, but I didn't realize the internet connection would go away with that.
Okay, thank you.
As far as early childhood in general, I think some of the things going on that you're both aware of, but I want to just point out that we're still concerned about, we're hearing about child care shortages, especially for very young children, and I think that's an area that boards like ourselves, child care providers just need to continue to work together and try to figure out, you know, solutions to acute shortages and the high cost of child care. We have been working with United Way and the Ames Chamber and the Iowa Women's Foundation to try to come up with solutions, and we'll continue that work. Another area that we've been working on is working with Iowa State University on helping create a statewide Early Childhood Iowa is working on an integrated data system, and they're just starting to finally pull some results out of that, and we're really excited about the progress that they're making in pulling together a comprehensive database. But one of the things that always plagued us in early childhood is that there's many different programs and they're not linked in any comprehensive way. And this will, I think, they're working to get agreements at the state level between human services, education, and early childhood Iowa to pull these kind of data on children together. So I think it's going to be a very worthwhile thing. And when we do get some tangible information, we'll certainly come back to the Board of Supervisors with some more information about what they're finding out across the state. And then just as a local board, we are working on redesigning our website to want to make it more accessible to handheld devices. It seems like nobody goes to a desktop to look up information about your program, so making it accessible to handheld, so I think it'll be a good step. So that should be in the next couple months that should be done. But I guess my final remark would be to, I know it's on the consent decree, but I would urge you to approve renewing the fiscal agent agreement. I know we've been very, very happy with the arrangement that we have with the county. We really appreciate the support that you provide for children birth to age 5.
Good. Thank you, Marion. Do you have any questions?
I don't. Thank you. Continuing to doing a good job. We appreciate it.
I like your annual report snapshot. That's good. Thank you very much for that. Okay, next we will hear from Jane Underhill with Storytime Child Care Center for her annual report. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Jane. I'm Jane from Storytime Child Care in Maxwell. We're based on a sliding fee scale. And I've written down some pros and cons to let you know about. Our finances and enrollment have stayed steady for the past few years. And as of right now, out of 42 kids I have only two openings in the baby room. Recently, I had a family from State Center, and they work in Des Moines. They called, and they've enrolled their child, who starts next week, which... it's a big deal from all the way from State Center. She had heard about how we run things and had heard a lot of positive things about us, so she's going to bring her child there. My staff's been there for over 5 years, so I don't have a big staff turnover, which is a good thing, I think. You know, when the kids or the teachers don't know who they're working with or who's going to be there, that's not good. One of the cons that we have is our landlord, they're slow at getting things done for story time. But last year when I was here, I'd mentioned we were going to improve the playground, but we haven't been able to do that yet because there's things the landlord has to do before we can complete the playground. And so I'm going to meet with them and kind of give them a timeline, tell them we need to have these things done, because these things that need to be done have been on their list for probably 2 years. So we're going to shoot for a deadline this time with them, see what I can accomplish.
How long have you been in that location?
We've been in that one for 19 years.
Okay.
So, but it's ran by a board, and so it's... Mm-hmm. Now they've had a new board the past few years. So they're learning how to, you're actually a landlord for a business, so they're learning.
Got it. Okay, thanks, Steve. That's a good way to describe it.
You got to be careful how you say it.
Right.
So are you usually full with even a waiting list?
Oh, we're usually pretty full.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're the only daycare actually down in that corner of Story County.
Mm-hmm. So you get
like
people from a lot of the communities in State Center, somebody mm-hmm. kind of commuting through. So
yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And I've had people from Huxley and Colo and all mm-hmm. over that drive back, you know,
mm-hmm.
they go from Huxley to Maxwell to Des Moines. And
mm-hmm.
so, but I'm pretty proud of the daycare. I've been there for 24 years. So.
That's stability.
Yeah, for sure.
Loris, any other questions?
No. Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we would have consideration of minutes of June 4th. I would entertain a motion.
I would move that we accept them and approve them as submitted.
I would second. Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Minutes approved. Next, consideration of personnel actions as listed on the agenda. I entertain a motion.
I move that we accept them as is.
Second. Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Personnel actions as listed. Accepted. Consideration of claims. Again, I would entertain a motion for claims as listed.
I move that we approve the claims as presented.
Second.
Aye.
Aye. Claims are presented or approved. Excuse me. Public hearing items. There are no public hearings.
On consent.
Consent.
And I will move that we accept the consent agenda as presented.
Consent agenda. I will second that. Olson.
Aye.
Merkin. Aye. Okay, that wouldn't take much time, so I tried to fix that. Okay. On we go, then, to public hearing items, of which we have none. Now we're down to additional items, and for request from Conservation Director Mike Cox, we're moving item 4 up to item 1, and we'll hear from the conservation folks now.
Very good. Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
What you have in front of you is a, or what you have for consideration is a request to request assistance from the organization referred to as the Trust for Public Land to help us with some review of options for sustainable conservation funding. And having said that, let me back up a little bit. And first, you know the gentleman to my left, Jim Pease, on the Conservation Board. The gentleman to my right is Mark Ackleson. Mark is a retired director of the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation and the statewide and national level expert on local funding options and has been helping us with this. First off, let me say that I think you know that conservation funding in Iowa, sustainable funding in Iowa is a little anemic, is inadequate to meet the need and has been for some time. I think that in Story County, we're fortunate that we have such a good relationship between the Conservation Board and the Board of Supervisors, and we've been successful in leveraging local funding options into with other monies and been able to accomplish a lot with a little. And so I think we've been very blessed in that regard. For quite some time, the folks around the state have been looking at different sustainable funding options for conservation. And boy, back in the, you know, when REAP was first started, that was going to be a savior of conservation, and it really it just doesn't have that capacity. Very important program. It's never been funded to its full level, and so anyway, REAP does amazing things for the state, but isn't that larger sustainable funding source that we all hope for. And then in 2010, voters statewide voted on the Natural Resource and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund, which will be the next 3/8 of a cent
sales tax increase in the state will go toward that, and that will provide sustainable funding. That will address a portion of the need, and that will enable some more grant funds perhaps to come to the county. But again, I think our need exceeds the capacity of that program as well. And so a number of years ago, well, last year actually, the Conservation Board renewed its strategic plan, developed a new strategic plan, and in that plan said that they wanted to explore options for local funding measures to help address some of that need. And so, then we started having some discussions and looking at how do we identify what those options are for local funding, and that led us to some discussions with Mark and some discussions with the Trust for Public Land, which specializes in this around the country, and so. The first step, and there are many steps in this process, but the first step would be to request assistance from the Trust for Public Land. And this carries no financial obligation. It carries no contractual obligation. The next step would be if they would be receiving a proposal from the Trust for Public Land for them to actually perform any analysis. And that is another decision point that would come back to the Conservation Board and this body, whether or not we enter into an agreement with the Trust for Public Land for their services. At this stage, this is purely a letter to start the Trust for Public Lands process, and they will then initiate or issue a proposal. Now, Mark, anything? Do you think I've characterized that accurately? Anything to add there?
It is. thanks for emphasizing. This is just a request and not an obligation.
It doesn't read that way.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's certainly the intent of it and the process. So I've been involved in about 35 of these around the country. Mm-hmm. There are four others in Iowa, mm-hmm. the counties. And just to put an additional emphasis on something Mike said, I think we've all grown to realize that we can't depend on the state, and we certainly can't depend on the federal government to meet our needs locally. So we have to identify other ways of accomplishing that. And the first place to do that is to explore what they are and which ones are feasible. But there may be a lot of options, some of which would not be feasible. So it is a process that takes some time. Trust for Public Land, I've worked at this. In fact, my conservation career started here in Story County 45 years ago.
I swear at some point I met you, maybe when I was a journalist even. When you were at the Heritage
Center. Yes, that's been a long time ago.
Yeah.
And we do know that there is a lot of support locally for conservation, and it always has been for Story County. So it's trying to identify the needs, what the options might be, and what can be supported. And so it's a process, as Mike identified. And I will say that I know of no other organization that does this work, especially the way there may be people who claim that they can do this work. But Trust for Public Land and their local conservation finance or funding program are the experts in this. They will do 10 to 15 of these studies a year. And what's important for Story County is to begin this process because they're well into starting their work for 2020.
May I jump in at this point?
Why don't you let Jim
in? I'll let you
in. I was just like to add that as a board member now for the last 7 or 8 years, as you well know, the kinds of projects, this has been a very progressive board. We have attempted to We've ramped up all sorts of projects here. The Board of Supervisors has been extremely supportive of those projects through the years, and we appreciate that. But in order for, and in that sort of progressive tradition, we're looking to what are the next steps for us long after I'm done serving on the board. And we feel the next step is to secure or at least look at the potential to secure some sustainable funding, be that from the county, from the state, from the federal, whatever. But this is a request for a proposal from them, and as Mike said, this is just the next step in the process. Whether we actually engage that proposal depends on what that proposal is. The other thing that I want to say is that I view this as an awful lot like the kinds of things that we've been doing with the countywide watershed plan, and looking at our watersheds across the county and then planning from there. Things like the inventory that we're doing of natural areas in the county. These are all sort of steps in the process of looking at where it is that we go in terms of conservation in this county. This is another part of that sort of bigger picture. So that's what we're asking for, is your agreement to at least entertain a proposal from them. So.
I would like to talk about process. That's where I'm headed.
Sure.
And we moved this agenda item up because Mr. Appleton has another 11 o'clock appointment that he needs to get to. So let's maybe if we can be succinct and
sure.
Maybe not go over the same
sure.
territory. And Mike, are you wanting to say something more before Laura?
Yeah, just real quickly. And I didn't know that Horace and I had a conversation last week and asked. And you asked some questions.
I asked you to do some specific things before this came on the agenda.
Yep, and I've been remiss in getting some of those answers. And so I guess I would ask that if recognizing that there's no commitment, if you're comfortable in moving forward with that, then, you know, please feel free. If not, I will say that we need to, and I'm happy to pull this action and ask for delayed consideration so that we can address any questions to your satisfaction that you may have before we take action on it.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. I asked that you run this by legal. And at the time that Mike and I had our conversation, I hadn't read the letter, the sample letter that from the Linn County, because Mike brought the packet with to give. Okay. I also asked that Mike check with either legal or Leanne Harder or both of them. Leanne's our expert when it comes to requests for proposals. And when we have to put them out, and conservation does their own often issuing proposals, but I believe our county purchasing policy talks about a $25,000 limit before we have to get at least two bids. And Mike and I discussed that and gave him an example where we crossed that, and looking at it, our IT director, we did that with our website design. So there were some I's that needed to be dotted and T's to be crossed, I felt, before this came before us. And that wasn't done. And so so then when I read the letter, because how I look at my packet, I look at my packet usually three times. The first time is I just take a look at what are the topics in the first paragraph of each on Friday. Do I need to reach out immediately? And then I go in, and usually during the weekend or the night before is when I really dig down and get in here. And this letter is written to me, not an attorney, but I think that we are asking you and possibly could be interpreted as making a commitment. Now, possibly could, okay? I'm not an attorney, but that's another reason why I think legal needs to read this letter. And I would say as advice for the Conservation Board, when you've got this kind of situation coming up, maybe, to send it also on your own, to over since it's a joint signature.
So I'm not opposed to this concept at all. I understand it. I understand what's happening around the country with funding, we know right here, and I understand how successful it has been in some of our larger counties already. Institute, I understand, has a great reputation. Sir, as I said, I swear I interviewed you once, but I first was a journalist 20-some years ago around in Des Moines. Okay, well, yeah, well, then I was a little different, too. But so that's not the issue. It's strictly process and making sure that we are doing it how we need to do it.
Sure. So we're comfortable. I mean, we want you to be comfortable with what you're doing, and we want to take every effort. And again, I apologize for being remiss in getting some of those answers. I don't anticipate that we're going to have a proposal, but we don't know that until we get it, that's going to trigger that financial threshold. Every indication is that it won't trigger that financial threshold for competition. However, I won't know that for sure until we get that proposal. But having said that, you know, we can come back to you with some more information that will give you more comfort in information.
And thank you. Just for a further clarification, so this is a draft of an agreement letter. If there are interests that need to be addressed further, almost in every case they can be addressed in the letter itself. So it's not like it's this or none. This is the process, and so I want you to understand that too. So, and I think the legal review and those type of things is, you know, part of doing business these days.
Laura says good questions. I have a question that's maybe a more overarching one. You've done this kind of work before. Is this really a study to determine what course, whether there's a need, and if so, what course is the right course to take, or is it somewhat predetermined that there's a need and we have a course that we're looking at, and it's going to be kind of, no offense, but kind of a cookie-cutter approach, look like what other counties have had. I mean, I'm seriously, if this is a study, I want to see pros and cons. You know, I want to see, is there a need, and some clear definition of what the need is, rather than the term sustainable funding is kind of a general, that could mean anything. I would like to see more in terms of need justification.
And that truly is what this is about. So it's a feasibility study, and one of the things they look at is the need clearly identified? Is it really a need, or can it be met some other way? And what are those other ways that might be required? So there's no pre-assumed answer here. That you will see opinions of why this will work and why it doesn't. What I have learned is a lot of us think we know our own law, even, or what our own opportunities or restraints are, and generally that's not true. For example, the legislature passed some interstate statutes that have some impacts on local governments this year. That needs to be taken into account. You have limitations. You probably also have vehicles that you are maybe using or maybe not have used. That may be available. So it is really a thorough look at needs. In fact, that's one of the things that we have been talking about and leading up to even this point in the discussion is, are the needs, can the needs be met any other way? And what are those needs? Can they be identified some other way?
I appreciate that answer to my question. Yeah. I also think it would be good to defer this because, as I think everybody in this room knows, we're going to have a third supervisor position so shortly, and it might be good to have, hold this off until that person is on the board and we have a full board for further consideration of this. So what kind of timing are you thinking in terms of answering the questions that Supervisor Olson has already asked you and maybe even responding a little bit to what I said? A couple weeks?
Yeah, I would say I would say a couple weeks. Yeah, because I know that we've got some different schedules coming up here with vacations and the such. And
yes, they are.
And then, I guess we still have a bit of an undetermined timeline on a third supervisor as far as when that person might.
It'll just depend on, I think the goal is to have somebody chosen this Thursday, but it'll depend on how soon that person can be sworn in.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. So we can take all of that into consideration and come back at a time.
You can work on that and then let us know when you're ready. Put it back on the agenda when you're ready for
further
discussion.
You bet.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, and
thank
for those
you for
of you
your
that.
And okay,
thank you very much. And thank you to those who allowed me to bump you down just a little bit on the agenda. We'll keep going and try to move quickly through the rest. We have Leanne Harder to acknowledge our receipt of the 2019 Urban Renewal Area Project application.
Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning. We did receive 9 applications for the 2019 Urban Renewal Area Project application process. They were due June 4th at 5 p.m. We received applications from the communities of Cambridge, Kelly, Huxley, Maxwell, Nevada, Roland, Story City, Zeering, and Collins. All the applications were on your agenda. Today's action is just simply to acknowledge receipt of the applications, but I do want to just go over the schedule while we're here. When I first put this together earlier this, I guess in February or in April, we had a couple of dates in September to choose from, and I just want the board's preference today if we go earlier or later. I did hand it out, pardon me, before the meeting. It's the last 3 rows on the table. What we're looking at, this is the tail end of the process, actually adoption of the resolution and the plan. So that I can set all the deadlines from here on out, I just would like some direction. Do you want the later date or the earlier date? So starting kicking it off September 10th or September 24th. And either one works. I get a little bit nervous the longer we go.
Right.
But I would not have put it out there if it did not work. So I just want an opportunity to get some feedback and go forward from there.
It's like earlier. September 10th works for me.
It works for me.
Okay. We'll go with that. It doesn't affect anything else on the schedule from this point on. The consultation meeting will be held July 23rd, which will be the same day the 9 applicants will be invited to present to the board. I'll have to work with Shelley on that to determine how much time to give them each. They do have, the board will have, you do have their written applications. And who knows, by then maybe someone will withdraw as well. I do have one remaining question that I have not received an answer to, and that is with the City of Kelly's application. That is for retention pond. Right now it's on private property. And the policies adopted by the board does clearly state that the monies cannot be used for private properties. So I have a question into the city clerk to find out whether or not Kelly will acquire that land eventually. Because my understanding, the landowner is donating that land. Other than that, and similar issue with Collins as well, but that one is a little bit more clear in the application.
Well, I've got some other issues with Collins.
I've
got some other issues with Collins.
On Collins, they did the preliminary application they submitted had 2 different projects in there, and I did, for the board's benefit and the agenda, include the email that Brett Tomagy sent to me saying the retention pond is the only project that's coming forward as a request.
So my question is, in all of this communication, if you can help expand a bit, okay? If I read that communication, then so he originally submitted for 2, The submission is dated May 17th, and the deadline was not until June 5th. Your communication with him happened on May 20th, and you said you would seek guidance. And who did you talk to about how to respond to him?
I spoke with Deb. I spoke with Ethan. Do you remember Deb? Yeah. And Lisa. I think I incorporated.
And did either of those individuals tell you it was okay to just send an email back to him to indicate a priority rather than have him rewrite and resubmit that application?
No.
Okay. So here's my problem with it. I feel he did not honor the intent of the program. But you clearly emailed him questioning that. And therefore, I remember a few years ago, it was a different situation. It was a late application from Slater. But there was some turmoil over that about, you know, hey, the rest of us followed the rules to the letter. The board of supervisors did vote in that situation to allow Slater's late application. I believe it was by one day. Wasn't that it? Or a weekend? It was something to do with the computer not working in the clerk's office.
I think they thought the email had gone and the email had not gone.
Okay,
that's what I recall from being in the audience during that communication.
So now in this situation, it's clear that Colin was told in plenty of time that this does not adhere to the intent of the program, which is one application and always before the submissions have been one unified concept. I do not believe that this is a unified concept. This is, we got these various types of needs in our community from a fine to a retention water area, retention pond area, and we're going to lump them all together saying it's all us. And so I'd like to disqualify Collins, and I'd like to know at what point we do that. Can we do that now with a motion, acknowledging receipt, but ordering or asking you to go back and tell Collins that due to them not adhering to the standards of the program?
That would be well within the board's purview to do.
Okay. So my concern now is that email exchange in asking him to designate a priority, and that not having been sanctioned by the board.
So I would like to go back and look at that application and the email again before I would want to vote on that, because I just have some questions. Is the intent clear from the communication that existed? And whether or not you like the communication, it's the record, it's the communication.
I understand
that
it happened, it was an appropriate person.
So, and it sounds like, yeah, I'd like to have some more discussion about that. I'd like to review it before we take the step of saying that the application is disqualified.
Okay, so you're asking that we acknowledge today, we go back and we review again the communication that was between you and Brett. I'd like an opinion from our attorney if whether that could be considered it binds us to consider that to have to include the Collins application, because it's a pretty clear policy. And the only a vote of the board, the majority of the board, can change that policy. So, all right. So I'm going to make a motion today that we acknowledge receipt of the 9 applications. This is one motion. I'll make a separate motion on Collins. So that's my motion right now. We acknowledge receipt of the 9 applications.
Full motion. Okay, I will second that motion. Any further discussion on the motion itself? All in favor? Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. We have acknowledged receipt. Now, you want to make another motion?
I'd like to move that we, the board, take a look and ask our attorney, our civil attorney, to give us an opinion, or at least an informal opinion, whether the communication and the way it was handled binds us into accepting the Collins application as a valid application.
Okay, I'll second the motion.
No discussion.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carried. Okay. And anything else, Leanne?
Is this the week the attorneys are gone?
Yeah, it is.
So it'll be a week. Yeah. I asked for clarification whether or not the intention was to have it back next week. But
no. Okay. I think on your own schedule, it's July 1st is when the consultation meeting notice.
There's time.
Yeah, so
we've got time.
I just was being prepared so I can respond to the mayor, too, if he contacts me.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Leanne. Okay. Next, we have discussion and consideration of the Director of External Operations and County Services vacancy, Alyssa Wignall.
Good morning. Good morning. I have an item on the agenda to discuss the upcoming vacancy in this position. This position directly reports to the board. So there are a few items that the board needs to discuss and make decisions considering it. So I just had a draft of a few items. I don't know where the board would like to start with the discussion.
Why don't you go ahead?
Go ahead and start. The first part is in the interim. What the board would like to do in the interim until this position is filled, if that's the board, if the board makes that decision.
I feel uncomfortable that we've got experienced department heads who are able and usually do anyway make most of the day-to-day decisions in their departments anyway. So what I'd like to look at is identifying those key functions that actually have to be done, okay, as we go forward at looking at this and assigning them, asking if you would pick them up. And with the board members as backup. We've got two right now is to help out as needed and to deal with some other things. You'll have a third board member who obviously will be learning, but I think that is going to be the cleanest way to handle this. You've sat in on all the meetings, you know, and had weekly almost meetings or bi-weekly meetings with the external operations director now, et cetera. So that's my comfort level in how we get this done. And the department heads have always known they could approach the supervisors when needed also. We've always had an open door policy. So I don't see other avenues.
So there would be no interim.
There would be no interim director.
You would just reassign the duties that need to be done.
Temporary assignment of the duties of the Director of External Operations to the Director of Internal Operations.
Okay.
I entertain a motion.
I would move that we assign temporarily assign the essential duties and duties as needed of the external Director of External Operations to the Director of Internal Operations.
Second. Further discussion?
None.
All in favor? Olson?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Alyssa, thank you very much.
Yep, and my plan is to work with the Director of External Operations before the 28th and get a list of everything that needs to be taken care of in the interim.
Great.
Thank you. The next item I have is the job description. With every new recruitment or whenever a position opens, we do take a look with the departments or offices or whoever oversees this position to see if there's any revisions that need to be made. So I don't know if the board, I have had a discussion with Linda. She had a few revisions, didn't change the scope of the position at all.
Okay. And I'm working on my plan is to get them to you by tomorrow at noon.
Okay.
You have plenty of time to make the Thursday deadline.
Okay.
And that's what I am looking at right now is what would I recommend as any change in the scope of the discussion. feedback that has been varied of sources, just like I'm sure Supervisor Merkin has received a lot of different feedback. And I do want to acknowledge at this point in time that what has originally come to me are from two mayors and at least one elected official, I'll say recently, former elected official in the county, asking if this is the time that we look at revamping everything and go to five supervisors and start that process. I've had some discussion with a couple of people who have convinced me that these are two separate issues, that we clearly, even if this board would look at making a vote to put the five supervisors on an agenda, it would not be, or on the ballot, it would not be until 2020, and we need this position in some form filled. So that I have come to an absolute decision on, is that there are some essential duties that this position forms that I think would need to be retained within the Board of Supervisors office. The question then about what I submit versus what Supervisor Merkin submits to you, and then obviously we'll have a third supervisor to weigh in, hopefully, at least to give some thoughts on that. But I do want to acknowledge at this point, since I have been contacted, it's just that I was convinced that regardless of what discussions or what people may want out there about a five supervisor situation, that this position has essential functions that I believe need to stay with the Board of Supervisors office.
Okay, and I had 2 weeks ago I gave you my revisions for the job description, so I got to you earlier. I was hoping we'd be further on in this timeline than we are right now, and I would just hope that we don't have to make any further delays, because I think when we first started talking about this, we were hoping to have the position filled in mid-September, and now we're looking probably at a mid-October. So I would hope that we can do a final approval of job description next Tuesday so that we can move on to the rest of the schedule.
Sure. I will take a look at what Laura's provides. Mm-hmm. And then how I typically do it is I get a draft and place that on the agenda. Then we have that discussion in an open meeting next Tuesday. If there are any changes, you can approve the job descriptions with those noted changes. We don't have to come back again the following week. And we can get it all done next Tuesday if we can get a consensus of those changes.
Appreciate your work.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Elizabeth.
Yep. Do you want to run us through the rest of this then, recruitment selection process that you're recommending?
That we can do that today unless you want to wait. I mean, that's up to the board. I can run through it and just give you my thoughts.
Let's put it on the record.
Sure, yeah. Sure. So if we get an approval of the job description next Tuesday, we can post. I do recommend having posting through at least the 15th of July. Mm-hmm. We need to get adequate time to get applications and get and do that. The initial review of applicants can be handled a few different ways. HR does review those. We can have HR review those. We can have a matrix that the board can have access to all applicants and can provide information to HR on that. HR would score those applicants and then do the first round of phone or Skype interviews that week of July 22nd. I am recommending to put together a committee for the very first in-person interview. We have used committees in the past. They have worked well. We get perspective from different departments and offices throughout the county. This position works with most, actually probably all departments and offices. So I would recommend we get some input from those. They know how the position has functioned in the past. They have different perspectives than myself. So I think that's I'm recommending that as an option. Then I would, after that, and it's narrowed down to finalists, we have done some public, they haven't been quite as public presentations as recommended here, but we have had individuals do presentations to elected officials and department heads in the past. I think that's a good option to have. I am recommending in independent or individual interviews with the board members. We have done that in the past, and we have had either someone within the Board of Supervisors office
or HR sit in on all those interviews. So we had two people. So individual board members have interviewed the applicants individually. That's what I have recommended. The other option is to do it in open forum, all three board members, all at the same time with the finalists. Then we get down to early September, and this is if everything goes as planned. I can't foresee the future on how that's going to work, but if we don't have any hiccups in this process, an offer could go out early September, background check, board approval. I'm thinking early October to mid-October is when this position could be filled.
I'd just like to back up and just clarify a couple of things so that people have asked me. So the job posting will be on sites that can be accessed regionally and nationwide, correct? It won't be just on our website, but we will be doing a search.
We push them out. We can put it on different county manager websites. It'll be posted on governmentjobs.com, which is a national, I mean, if our NeoGov, it goes out. I think we can post on IPMA. I'll look and get different things out there. So it gets out to those outside of this
and of
region.
Course, the revision of the job description itself will somewhat dictate whether, when you mention county managers or whatever, you know, if the clarity, I think it's very important. There's been confusion in the past, locally even, about what the position is and is not.
It's not a county manager, but
correct.
They do have some of the same responsibilities as a county manager as far as oversight of certain departments. So I would recommend using those outlets to get qualified applicants.
And that would
yep.
be back to that job description revision
yes.
about what oversight of
sure.
whatever.
And when we post those, even on those sites, it's very clear what the job responsibilities
okay.
are.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So then the review of the applicants you and I had discussed about when would be an opportunity for the supervisors individually if they identified an applicant that they were at least mm-hmm. interested in having go through the committee interview process or something. And I think we came to the agreement that the fairest way to do it was if the supervisors wanted to score, also give those score sheets to you and then back out of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah, there's no violation of open meetings
yeah.
for that.
Well,
as long as you do it individually.
So we need the supervisors just giving in their input to the committee.
Correct.
Good.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So, and so those were the two that I think probably to clarify that had already been asked
yes.
of you on that.
And I can provide information to the board at any point throughout the whole recruitment process. Me providing information or HR providing information to all three of you in the same setting is
mm-hmm.
not a violation of open meetings. I did go through this process with our county attorney. It's a little bit different when it's the direct report of the board and how we handle that recruitment. So I made sure she answered all of my questions to make sure we weren't violating any open meetings laws.
Well, I appreciate how you have worked through this and having discussions with me, having discussions with Supervisor Mergen, having discussions with others to really see that this is a good, thorough, open, transparent process and that we're going to search for the candidate that best meets our needs once we settle on a job description. So thank you.
Thank you. Yep. And I'd like to clarify a couple things
sure.
in my mind to make sure that we're all on the same page. First, I really like the idea of the committee because, and I did, after I did my initial revisions or suggestions on the job description, I talked to many elected officials and department heads, got, I think, some really valuable feedback, and one, it didn't lead me to recommend any other revisions, you know, and I gave you, I said, you know, pending, you know people I talked to, but I found out, you know, a lot about the position that I would not have probably known this well and how valuable it is if I hadn't had those discussions. So I'm really glad that the committee is going to be made up of those people. And I just want to clarify for everybody that the supervisors themselves will not be part of that committee that's going to interview in August.
That's how it's kind of set up.
And I agree with that because I think what we want are the finalists. And if we're going to have individual interviews, of the finalists, you know, each supervisor is going to interview them just in terms of time. I think it's best we just be dealing with finalists rather than. But I would also request that a staff member be present in all those interviews mm-hmm. as well. And it doesn't have, I don't know, it needs to be the same staff member, but I feel like
it's always good in an interview to have a second person sitting in. So I would appreciate that if you or Noel could be part of that.
Okay. And would you be open to maybe another staff member in the event that they're not available, you know, scheduling kind of thing? I would prefer that it be an HR representative also, but just in case. Maybe another elected official if one was willing to do that, or someone who didn't.
If need be. For consistency's sake, I think it's good if we have HR involved.
I agree.
People with HR experience specifically in our office, so I think that would be better.
I think we can make it work. I don't plan on being gone very often in the next couple of months, but I do, you know, I kind of work. I do that, and it shouldn't be an issue to have either Noel or myself.
And then we have three supervisors, so it really, you know, depending on the number of finalists, it's three times that number. So we might need another person, just in terms of how we're dealing with applicants who might travel in for an interview.
Okay.
For them as well. But I think it sounds very good. I have no other suggestions on it. You know, some things might come up, you know, some refinements, but we'll obviously have time to do that as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for all your work putting this together. And I want to thank everybody who's given us some input, some feedback regarding the position and the value of the position and how it works. So certainly very sorry to see our incumbent leaving, but she's going on to a great new job as well, and I know she's getting everything in order and working with you for the interim plan. So I feel very confident that we have a good plan both for the interim when you don't have somebody in the external operations position and to getting the best person possible in that situation. So thanks very much.
Yep. I'll be back next week with the job description.
Mm-hmm. Look forward
Thank
to
you.
It. Moving on then, we're going to Amelia?
Yeah.
Okay, discussion and consideration of a resolution regarding the Austin subdivision.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is a residential parcel subdivision just south of Story City. Creating two lots and two outlots. Let's see. I'll get it pulled up here. Okay, so yeah, we're just south of Story City on Hillcrest and 130. This is the subject property. There has been an additional parcel line adjustment to change the boundary of this so that now it comes to about this line right here. And that was because we're adjacent to the South Sunk River. There's a greenbelt. Greenbelt Conservation Zoning District on the South Skunk River, and residential parcel subdivisions are only permitted for parcels with wholly zoned A1 agricultural. So that piece of the subdivision was actually going to be joined with this parcel just to the west, and so they've done a boundary line adjustment to adjoin those properties in advance of the subdivision so that they're meeting all subdivision requirements. So you'll see that the subdivision plat looks different. It has that top portion, zone greenbelt conservation cutoff versus the current image on Beacon. Otherwise, there is an existing dwelling constructed in 1974. It's just at the corner of 130th and Hillcrest. And so they'll be creating one additional building lot, proposed lot two, just 2.12 net acres. There's already a buyer, and we've worked to communicate setback requirements and ensure that the lot is buildable because of some topography that you'll see in the site photos. There's quite a hill, so I think they're going to have a nice walkout basement potentially. And then there are two outlots. Outlot A was configured as proposed because there will be a blanket conservation easement, drainage easement over it. And so the property owner worked with Mike from County Conservation to determine those boundaries based on natural resources located on the property. Related, again, there is natural resources areas. Those will be completely in Outlot A. And then it is also designated on our C2C comprehensive plan as ag conservation area, but there isn't any area in row crop production. It has a very low LISA score as well. Just looking at surrounding land use, you can get an idea of that green belt area with the South Skunk River. There are a few residential subdivisions as well in the vicinity. And then there are two existing dwellings in the quarter as well, located north of the subject property. So there have been previous divisions for residential purposes in this actual quarter. There are 21 dwellings on of the 37 parcels within a quarter mile. And so this is looking south on Hillcrest Drive from Lot 1. Looking north, this is the existing house. We're looking east now. Again, the existing house. And so this is looking northeast on proposed Lot 2 and the outlots. I'm at the top of the hill looking down. And then this is looking up the hill. Southwest, you can kind of see the dwelling, existing dwelling, proposed Lot 2 and Outlot A. And then this is a better picture of some of that outlot area. There's some remnant prairie and other treed area related to the South Skunk River. I won't go through the applicable regulations unless you have requirements. All regulations are met. We routed this for review for county departments and sent notice within a quarter mile. Story City also acted at their city council meeting to approve the request on May 6th. Environmental Health just noticed that there are poorly drained soils, and so the septic will need to be designed accordingly. Points to consider, I've gone through most of these already, but just again, Outlot A will contain the natural resources area. That area of zone greenbelt conservation has already been removed from the subject property, so that's not part of the subdivision plat anymore, so all requirements are met, and there is some residential development in the area already, so it's typical of the area. So we are recommending alternative one, approval of the DNR Oceans subdivision plat as proposed. Any questions for me?
No, very clear. Thank you about what's going to happen. To me, it looks very simple. And thanks for laying it out very specifically.
Okay, and I have no questions. I'd entertain a motion.
I move that we approve Resolution 19-115 that just appeared.
Sorry.
I got it in front of me.
Okay.
Residential Partial Subdivision Plat D and R Oceans Subdivision is put forth in SUB 06-19.
I second the motion. Any further discussion?
None.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Resolution is approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Then we go on to departmental reports. Barbara Steinbach for IT. Welcome.
Hi, Barb. Happy, beautiful summer day. Spring, sorry. Not summer, until the 21st.
Good morning, Board. Barb Steinbach, Information Technology. I'm here for my quarterly report.
Mm-hmm. Morning.
And I just wanted to start off with a brief overview of a lot of the projects that we're working on. The first topic, the camera project at the Sheriff's Office. As you recall, we brought that in-house, saving thousands of dollars. The final count isn't in yet, but it's six figures. And the reason we brought this in-house, number one, to save money, but also a lot of the support we were doing anyway. So we thought, well, it makes sense to bring it in-house. And we were familiar with all the workings of the cameras. And so far, the system has been migrated out to all of the users of the system. The only thing remaining is there are a few analog cameras that the jail would like to update per remaining budget numbers. So if they have some extra budget money, they're going to replace those with IP cameras, which is what the system is basically. But there were a few older analog ones that they're getting rid of. So that's exciting, and it's working well for them. So I'm glad that one's done. It was a long process.
From a budget perspective, it would be the jail's budget, but don't you cover most IT things, or is that something that would be a line item in the jail budget anyway?
We work hand in hand. If they have the dollars, they come to IT for direction on how to spend that if it's available.
Okay.
They don't ever spend anything on their own, so that's good, because if we support it, we need to be involved in the process.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Barb.
Second item, the animal control network. We have a radio microwave connection that is going in that was approved here just a couple weeks ago. We're set for July 8th. This will bring animal control on our network. They'll have access to our shared drives and our email. We are not going to migrate the phones over at this time because I'll talk about that in the third bullet point that I had. But that's exciting news, and there will just be a short, small tower similar to what we had at the jail, nothing that will impact the roof or any structure at animal control. And then it will talk to the antenna that we have on this building. So now I'd like to talk about voice improvements if you don't have any questions about animal control.
Mm-hmm.
So if you recall, we've had a few painful outages with our phone system, mainly due to one vendor in particular, but that has led us to think maybe we need some redundancy in our phones, and we've worked with the vendor, and they have come up with a solution for us, which I brought to the board a few weeks ago also that was approved. So the status of that is the permits in our Ames location have been approved. They're going to start the build-out on Kellogg at our HSC building, and then the permits here in Nevada have been approved, and this build-out has started here as well. So what this will give us is redundancy. If the connections in our Ames location go down, it'll automatically route to our Nevada location. Same thing, if the Nevada connections for some reason go down, it will reroute to our Ames location. So we shouldn't have any more phone outages. 99% sure we won't. And there, each build is a $10,000 cost, which the vendor, RM, is going to absorb. Assuming that they will be able to use that same bill for other customers in that area. So we expect this to be completed in August, weather permitting, and at that time then we'll review what's going on with animal control phones and try to bring them on the network. But this this new redundancy, even though it will add extra features, will also result in the way they've renovated some of their pricing structure that we'll see some cost reduction in some of our departments, so that'll be nice too. Wasn't really something I could prepare people for and anticipate because we didn't know what the cost reductions would be. In August, we'll be able to realize those and send out an information to everybody as to what their new charges per month will be, but they will be lower. Some updates, the multi-agency, we're working on bringing some of the smaller agencies on board. We've been working on this for a long time. And there were a lot of things that needed to be decided. We had to decide who would support the smaller agencies when they came on board. We would have to give them hardware requirements, licensing requirements. It's not cheap. But the three entities that were the most interested were Huxley, Story City, and Nevada. And so we've got everything in place. I worked with Doug Houghton from the city on the agreements. I think everything's good. We've decided that support would be handled internally as long as it was within business hours, so no overtime costs were incurred that would cost, you know, the taxpayers money. So I think we're good there. The first one we're going to bring on board is Huxley, and then we're also going to bring in some training from the vendor so that we can, we've got a lot of our own staff that hasn't really been trained on the new software. So it'll be quite an exciting experience for all of us. Some of the hardware replacements we've been doing, we've been getting rid of a lot of the old switches. We've got 70 odd switches countywide. So every year we've got a lot of switches to replace. We're also looking at, one thing IT likes to do is each budget year look at each building and evaluate the monitor situation. It used to be back when we had the great big old CRT that a flat screen monitor was a luxury and one that we welcomed. And we started out with 19 inches, and so now those are even becoming obsolete. So we're evaluating this week, actually, I'm doing a walkthrough at the Justice Center and deciding which monitors to replace and which situations would work best with dual monitor setup. So that's exciting. Other things that we're working on, this morning we did a test of the paging for this building, and that is working, so we're excited about that. Eventually, we plan to have all of our buildings page capable. So we're layering that security piece of it. Also, I'm working on a couple policies. I'm almost done to turn over to the county attorney about document management as far as we start with document classification. and then document retention based on that classification. So that's that would help us when we get open records requests, save a lot of time on the county attorney having to do redactions and sorting through all the data that's collected. So lots of stuff going on in IT. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, I do, but let's talk about the document retention.
Okay.
It triggered something in my mind, and I'm going to look back at Leanne Harder of Outreach and Special Projects.
Sure.
Because Leanne and Gatilda and I have talked about photo storage, graphics,
sure,
if you will, storage, and it just occurred to me, it clicked in my mind, that actually our photos are public records also, unless they are retained for a case file or something. So at some point, maybe it would be good to get Leanne involved in that conversation. I don't think that would necessarily be in all of what you're going to be talking about, you know, with retention and whatever. But we've been looking at about how do we keep accessible to general users like me or someone else who's preparing a PowerPoint presentation some general photos, illustrated photos. And I see Alex nodding back there. I think that's an assignment to her, it looks like, or at least she's really good. But I just want to make you aware of that and see that we make sure that things are flowing back and forth on that information. So now I'm going to shift here a little bit. On your sheet of paper there, are you reading off any more than what you have on this particular document here?
I'm just, no, not the topics. I'm just going off of my notes.
Okay.
Things to talk about.
So I think I'm responsible for this in a way. I just want to mea culpa first, all right? Is that I think for 2.5 years, you know, I've been pretty much about we need to put in front of the public clear, concise information in a variety of forms. And I kind of backed off when it came to quarterly reports, and I know when I did it, and it's when Animal Control was doing the update, because we were taking all of a sudden outlines more. There weren't numbers on reports. There weren't full sentences on it. And I think of Animal Control, that's the one when I quit mentioning it. I'm looking at this and what was put out to the public. And I'm wondering how we've served the public in just this outline. We've not given them any information. So if someone wants to know about what happened in IT, they're going to have to go listen to an audio or a video. And so I am sitting here as one supervisor at this point, but I'm hoping that Supervisor Merkin would also agree that putting good information out in these quarterly reports that the public can find is a good policy. So I was wondering, that's why I wanted to know if you were reading off the notes that you could give to Shelley so that those could be filed with the minutes so that someone would actually know what you talked about without having to listen to the audio or the video. And then I'm going to turn my direction here to the Director of External and Internal Operation, and maybe we could have a discussion later on about what might best serve the public and serve the public record when it comes to quarterly report expectations. Okay? So thank you.
Any more questions?
No.
Thank you, Board.
Thank you, Board. Other reports. I don't know what the other reports would be. Anybody have a report? Okay, then we'll skip other reports. Upcoming agenda items. I think we've talked about a few upcoming agenda items that are of importance here at this meeting. Are there any others that we need to talk about?
No.
Okay.
I think you've run the list over the last few weeks.
Public forum number 2. This relates to comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action at this time on any comments. Through the department's open meetings law, may do so in the future. Is there a member of the public who would like to make any public comment? If so, please come to the microphone. Seeing nobody moving to the microphone, I'll close the public forum number 2. And now we're down to liaison assignments. And I'll go first this time.
Sure.
We had a meeting at StoryCom this morning here in Nevada in the squad room with the sheriff's office. Things are moving forward on StoryCom. Temporary tower sites, radio day, the June 18th for jurisdictions to come look at the new radio options on the Storycom contract. And there's another, I think that's in the morning for the city of Ames, in the afternoon, the county, and then there's another date, which I didn't catch, there's going to be for service providers outside of Ames and the county, who would get a presentation. 2 o'clock today, we have department heads and elected officials meeting, and the vacancy committee is meeting Thursday at 5:30 in this room, open meeting to hear presentations from, I believe, the 5 finalists that they selected last night for the vacant supervisor position. Friday, the Watershed Assessment Work Group is meeting at 9 a.m. in Conference Room A. And Saturday, Hope Run is in Ames. I'll be participating at some incredibly early hour, not running. I'm registering people for that. Sunday's Father's Day. That's what I saw on my calendar. So, Loris, what would you like to add to all of this?
First week of the month is my kind of be in the office week and not many meetings. So the only thing I have to add is that the Board of Health, when they met last week, we discussed, and the Board of Health voting members asked the Director of Environmental Health to start working on an ordinance to do some regulation of tanning beds in the county. And that is because the state actually licenses them, and the state used to also authorize or direct the counties to have a mandatory inspection once a year. The state feels it no longer has the money for that, and therefore they will still license, but there is no one at the state level to process the reports that our health departments are actually going out and doing. And we discussed the pros and cons about having at least someone go out once a year to make sure that the employees are taking the written test so they know kind of how it works and how many of the, whatever the correct measurement unit is to go out. So that will be coming up in the future. Sorry. So that was an upcoming agenda item. The inspections are actually billed to the owners at $33 per bed. So it's a revenue neutral type of situation for us, as it's covering the cost of Kathy to go out and do the inspections. It's just that the reports will stay here, and to do the inspections now, we need a local ordinance since the state
is licensed. Department of Public Health?
Still the Department of Public Health, but they issue a license.
Required by statute to regulate?
Apparently not anymore. They have informed all of the local public health departments that they will no longer require an inspection. Fascinating, I could see, about how things change in the government. So at least the Board of Health wants to take a look at how we might be able to protect some way the consumer still. And with that, I'm going to make a motion to adjourn.
Second, all in favor, Olson.
Aye.
Merkin, aye. We adjourn. Thank you.